It's good to be back with you. I've been gone for a couple of weeks. If you didn't know I was gone, welcome back to you also. So here we are. I was gone last week. Last week, I was in Waco for Thanksgiving. I missed y'all. 2 weeks ago, I was in California celebrating my wife's 40th birthday. I did not miss you. I was fully there. But it's good to be back. Last week, we started a sermon series called Undeck the Halls, okay? It's about rethinking the way that we do Christmas. Christmas has so much attached to it now. All the lights, all the songs, obviously the gift giving, all those things. And I love them all. I love all of those things. I'm all in on the Christmas thing. But what we're looking at in this series is, okay, can we strip all of that back just a little bit and look at what Christmas is really all about? Getting like right back to the core of what Christmas is all about. We light each week this Advent wreath here. The candle that we lit today is the candle of peace. One of the things that the church has recognized for 2,000 years is that Christmas is tied to peace. And on a personal level, what many people have experienced is that because of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, that we can have a higher degree of peace in our lives. So if you're here this morning, you want increased peace and decreased anxiety, like this is what Christmas is about, okay? But on a whole nother level also, what the church has believed and been working towards for 2,000 years, and that we've seen fruit from, is that because of Christmas, our world can have increased peace also. That when we believe the Christian message taught in Christmas, when we really believe this, that it can unleash waves of peace, not just in our individual lives, but in our societies as a whole. So if you're here this morning and you would like to see on a societal level increased peace and decreased anxiety, well, I think this morning is going to speak to that also. Now, before we dive into all of those things and look at the passage that doesn't seem like it has anything to do with Christmas that Matt read for us just a minute ago, before we do all that, let's take a moment and pray together. God, we give you thanks for this time that we get to spend together. We thank you for the music that we've heard, for the time that we've had to greet one another, for the baptisms, just for everything that we've already experienced together. And now, Lord, as we turn to the scripture and some time to reflect on it, we pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will continue to be with us. Guide our conversation, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, you can go ahead, if you've got your own Bibles, and turn to the end of Matthew 5. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 4 in the back, the second page 4, but it's also printed in your bulletins. And in just a few minutes, we're going to walk through those 5 verses together, see what it has to say to us about peace. But before that, I need to make sure that we are all on the same page about something. I think that we all get this, but I want to make sure that we have just all got this. It's going to give us solid footing for everything that we're going to do moving forward. I think sometimes we have a little bit of confusion in our society. None of us would overtly say this, but we covertly begin to believe this. We begin to believe that Christmas is, that Christmas is your birthday, okay? Or that Christmas is your kid's birthday, like it's the day that we celebrate them. Or that Christmas is your grandkid's birthday. We never get confused and think it's our parents' birthday, right? It always moves down, okay? But we get confused. Here's the deal. Christmas is not your birthday, okay? Now, there's a 1 in 365% chance that it is, but I think you still get it. We have one person here that I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but I'm going to. He was born on December 25th, 1981, and his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's one of the names that was given to Jesus. His mother's name is Mary. And his father's name is, it's Steve. No. His father's name is Joseph. Can you believe this? His father's, Emmanuel, will you wave at everybody back here? Emmanuel, wave at everybody. How great is that? How great is that? So Emmanuel, you don't have to listen to the message this morning. Everybody else, Christmas is not your birthday, okay? And here's why we get confused about that. Because there's so much festivity around it, which is so much fun, and I think most of us really try to do a good job of pointing it back to Jesus and all of those things, but it's hard, okay? That's the reason we're doing this series, Undeck the Halls, trying to cut through all of that stuff. Keeping it there, it's fun, but cutting through it to be able to focus on what really matters. Christmas is the day that we celebrate Jesus' birthday. So this year, look, it's just pretty simple. You've already done some shopping. You've already made a list of things that maybe you want people to get you and that you want to get you. You've done all the shopping and all of those things. This year, I want to help you out and talk about one thing that Jesus wants for his birthday. Okay? Just one thing. One thing that Jesus wants for his birthday. Now, there are lots of things that I could have chosen from, lots of things that we could have picked. So what I did is I picked the hardest one, okay? I picked the biggest gift that Jesus wants for his birthday. I'm gonna go ahead and let you know it's big, it's expensive, it is hard to do, okay? We're taking five verses out of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' most famous teaching. If you're here, if you've been here before, you've heard me say this. This is super important. If you have no relationship with God, you think that Jesus, the whole thing is he was a good guy, but he wasn't the Son of God. If you're there, Matthew 5 through 7, it's still for you. The best teaching out there. I charge you to find a better one. The best teaching out there about what it means to be fully alive, to be fully human. Taking one little piece out of that, and this is what Jesus wants us to do, at least this year, for his birthday. All right, you with me? You see where we're going here? Okay, this is what Jesus wants for his birthday. Here it is, Matthew 5, beginning in verse 43. I'm going to read it and give us a little bit of context as we go. You have heard that it was said. Okay, let's pause there real quick. This is the sixth time in the Sermon on the Mount, six times in a row, where Jesus has started a short teaching by saying something like, you have heard it said. And what he's doing here is he's reminding the people that he's teaching of what the Old Testament teaches, what kind of the foundation is. So here he says, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Previously, he said things like, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Okay, we hear that and we think that it's brutal, okay? But in the Old Testament, what the Old Testament is doing is the Old Testament is raising the bar on civility for God's people. And here's what I mean. If the bar for them is eye for eye, tooth for tooth, when they first heard that, that sounded radical to them. Because this is the way that it used to work, and it still worked for many of the cultures that were around them. If your tribe knocks out my daughter's eye, I am going to kill everybody I can in your tribe. Okay? This is the way that it worked for many of the pagan communities that surrounded the Jews. God said, look, you're not going to operate like that, friends. You want to be my people? Here's what's going to happen. If they knock out your daughter's eye, you get to knock out one eye, not two eyes, and certainly not 15 eyes, okay? Again, for us it sounds brutal, but for them it was raising the level of civility. Does that make sense? Here's the only reason that any of us today think that eye for eye is brutal. It's because we grew up in a Western culture that is rooted in the teachings of Jesus. Just the status quo throughout most of the world and certainly throughout history, the way that most human beings are just naturally ingrained, is that we are wired to seek vengeance when people hurt us. The Old Testament says you're not going to do that. But then Jesus takes it to a whole nother level. He doesn't say, he says, you've heard don't over-retaliate. That's the eye for an eye thing. But I say to you, don't retaliate at all. He says, look, this is what you've heard. This is what you've heard. You have heard that you shouldn't commit adultery. I'm going to say to you, don't even have lust in your hearts. You've heard it said, and this is good. This is a good standard. We all need to agree to this. You've heard it said that you shouldn't murder. I say, don't even be angry. Like, don't even let that, like, foster inside of you. So you see what Jesus is doing is he's starting here. This is where we are. But he says, here's the deal. You want to be a follower of me, friends? We're going to take it even higher. We're going to elevate this whole deal. So when he says here, you have heard it said, He's talking to people who are considering, they started following him around, are considering following him with everything that they've got, leaving everything behind. I mean, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, don't blow over this. What it means to be a disciple of somebody is that you want to be just like them. It's not just that you like them. It's not just that you're a fan of theirs. To be a disciple means that you want to be just like them. So if you want to be a fan of Jesus, you don't have to do this stuff. You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, Jesus says you got to go to a whole nother level. Here's what you've heard it said. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, the love your neighbor piece is out of Leviticus 19, where it talks about the importance of loving like your tribe, your family, and then also loving, and it's right there, you can read it in Leviticus 19, also loving the sojourner or the traveler. Today we'd say the immigrant, the alien, loving those people that are seeking refuge. It's right there in Leviticus 19. And what it says is, it says, look, because you once were a wanderer without a place, and God provided a place for you, you now need to do the same thing for other people. It's right there in Leviticus 19, near the end, you can read it. But then the second part, and hate your enemy, well, where is that said? Well, that's not actually in the Old Testament. All this is interesting. All the other ones are in the Old Testament. So why is Jesus now saying, you have heard it said, love your neighbor, okay, that's Leviticus 19, and hate your enemy? Who said that? Come on, you know who said that. Who said that? Who says, even if they don't say it overtly, that like they know deep down that you should hate your enemy? Who says that? Everybody. Everybody thinks that. Love the people that love you back. The people that don't love you, just kind of, they're neutral, like don't love them either. And the people that are persecuting you and trying to hurt you, what should you do? You should hate them. This is actually the reason, I don't know if you know this, that some people choose not to be Christians. This is the reason that some outspoken atheists are going to say that they don't like the Christian church, is because it teaches to love your enemies, where they'll say, no, we shouldn't love our enemies, we should hate our enemies, and we should seek to destroy them. This is actually a stumbling block for many atheists. And Jesus then turns the table, okay? You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's kind of the status quo. That's what people think. This is what I say to you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. At which point, if you had not been hearing this all your life, you would gasp. We get used to hearing this. I mean, we get used to just knowing that Jesus says this kind of like crazy stuff that we want to believe, but that we don't actually put into action. Look, imagine that you are somebody hearing this for the first time. You might be able to see within your line of sight, and if not, you have seen recently Roman troops that are occupying your village, that you have seen brutalize members of your family, and that you might have been brutalized by yourself. You have possibly seen, and if you haven't seen, you have certainly heard of the crosses that line around Jerusalem. Jesus was not the first man to be crucified by a long shot. Real enemies are all around you. At this point, it's been 600 years that the Jews have either been living under foreign oppression or have been living in the immediate threat of foreign oppression. For three times longer than we have been a country, they have been experiencing that. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Oh, come on. I mean, really? But let me, so that it's not just about 2,000 years ago, let me push it here for you a little bit. Some of you hear the word enemies and you can kind of get that. And some of you think, I don't have any enemies. Well, let me push it a little bit further, okay? You don't have enemies like Roman centurions that are, you know, willing to bust your kneecaps in if you get out of line. You don't have that. Praise be to God, okay? But you have adversaries. People at work or even in your family or your neighborhood, people, you got those. You have people that you disagree with. And as a country, we're not really good with people we disagree with right now. You have people you disagree with. And you at least have people that annoy you, right? okay? All right, here's what was really sitting on me this week. Okay, if I don't have enemies, okay, all right, maybe I'm not even ready to love them yet, because if I can't love the people that annoy me and the people I disagree with and my adversaries, then how am I gonna love my enemies, okay? Are you loving those people? Okay, this is like the Mount Everest of Jesus' teaching, okay? It's big and it's bold and it's beautiful and it is incredibly difficult to climb. It's incredibly difficult to do. And the rest of this teaching is kind of unpacking this. Jesus knows that he needs to explain why this is the case. Okay, this is why I'm telling you to do this, friends. So that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Not so that you may earn the role of son or daughter. You've already got that. Don't misread this. It doesn't mean that. This is like somebody saying to you, you are your father's son. You are your mother's daughter. It doesn't mean because what you just did, you now get to be their daughter. What does it mean? You look just like them. You're acting just like them. When you love your enemy, you pray for those who persecute you, what do? Well, you look like your father in heaven. You wanna know what he looks like? Look at this. This is a verse that I used to blow over all the time, but this is so good. He makes his sun rise on who? The evil, and on who? The good. And he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He says, have you ever noticed this? You ever notice how the Father works? You ever notice this? The sun comes up on everybody. And everybody, like the guy who lives west of town, who's really great to his family and to his workers, and the family that lives on the other side of town that's just wretched, it rains on both of their farms. You can't just drive around and figure out who's good and who's bad based on like weather patterns. I don't know about your neighborhood, but it rains on the people behind me and in front of me and to my left and to my right, and I don't know anything about the inner workings of their heart, but they're probably not all equally good and righteous. Jesus is making a profound point here. Who gets God's grace? Who gets it? All of them. Sun, 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 sun. Rain, 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 rain. Love, 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 love. Grace, 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 grace. Now you can walk around your entire life with an umbrella, or you can build a pergola in your backyard to keep the sun away, but God's just gonna keep raining that down on you. He's just gonna keep doing it. And then Jesus says, I'm like my Father. What does Jesus do? I mean, can't you just imagine him with his disciples? Hey, like Peter, like who do I heal? Do I just heal old people? No, you heal old people and young people. Matthew, do I just hang out with good people? No, you seem to hang out with everybody. Andrew, do I just hang out with people that look like us or believe the things that we do? No, you seem to hang out. The Father, love, 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 love. So Jesus, what does Jesus do? Love, 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 love. And if you wanna be like Jesus, he's saying here, you wanna be like the Father, you wanna be like me, what do? Everywhere. I mean, if the Father doesn't pick and choose who he blesses with the rain, and Jesus doesn't pick and choose who he dies for, then how do you pick and choose who you talk nice about and who you say vile things about that you wouldn't want said about yourself? I mean, if Jesus doesn't do that and the Father doesn't do that, why would I get to do that? And then he pushes it even further. 46, if you love those who love you and reward, what reward do you have? Even the tax collectors do that. And that we won't go into it, but tax collectors are not good people in their eyes. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles, that's the non-Jews, do they not do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. He says, look, here's the deal. It's easy to love people that are gonna give you love in return. that's easy. Like, don't expect, like, Jesus to, like, give you a pat on the back for that. Like, everybody does that. You know when it gets harder? It gets harder when you love people that are not going to give you anything in return. You want to meet somebody who's, like, being sanctified, who's being sharpened? Oh, you want to meet? Go hang out with somebody who is a caregiver for somebody that can give them nothing in return. They have a daily lesson on what it looks like to have God's kind of love. Just loving that person, even if nothing's coming back. But Jesus pushes it even further than that. It's not just love the person that you get nothing from. What is it? I mean, this is so hard, friends. Mount Everest. Love the person who, in return, hates you. Be kind to the person who, in return, is unkind to you. I mean, do you see how radical this is? And side note, can you imagine what our society would be like if Jesus had never taught this and his disciples had never told us about this? Can you imagine what this is like? This is not something that other people were going around talking about. Love them. Because the Father loves them. And it's hard. But that's what we're going to do. Not everybody is going to do this. But if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, this is what we're going to do. Be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. It's not about never making a mistake. It's really about being complete, being whole. This is a teaching that's not some kind of moral teaching that you feel good or bad about yourself. It's not that. It is a teaching about how to be a complete, whole person. It is about how to be fully alive. It is a teaching about the best way to be a human. The best way to be human is not to carry around hate, but it's to carry around love. So let's just take a deep breath before I give us something to wrap up with. Okay, just a deep breath. All right, close your eyes. Picture that person that is an enemy, maybe they just annoy you, an adversary, somebody that is hard for you to love. Picture that person. And now just say their name out loud. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Okay, don't do that. Okay, but here is what I want you to do tonight. Tonight I want you to do that. Tonight I want you to do that. Get quiet, close your eyes, picture that person, and just whisper their name out loud. And pray for that person. Pray not just like a selfish prayer for you, like, I hope that person changes because I don't want Christmas to be like Thanksgiving, okay? Not that, okay? Pray like what is good for them. Pray, one way to define love is that love is willing the good of the other person. It's wanting what is best for them. The love that Jesus is talking about here, it's not a love that's about feelings at all. It's not about a love that happens to you. It's about a love that happens through you. Does that make sense? I began to love Amy because when I was around her, I felt a love that like came towards me. I continue to love Amy because sometimes I feel that, and sometimes even when I don't, I still act out of love towards her. Does that make sense? I mean, there's a love that you experience, and there's a love that you like create, and that you like step into. This is that kind of love. Jesus is not saying, go to bed at night and think happy thoughts about this scoundrel. No. He's saying, go to bed at night and pray that your heart will be softened towards that person, and whether it is or not, go out and act kindly towards them tomorrow. This is not some kind of like Hollywood, mamby-pamby kind of love. This is like big boy, big girl stuff. This is hard. This isn't easy. This is the Mount Everest. And it's something that not everybody, in fact, not most people are going to do. But if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, he says, this is what I want for Christmas. Do this. Okay, I'm going to wrap up with two thoughts and then paint a picture for you, and then we'll sing and get out of here. Okay. How do you actually do this? Well, Jesus is brilliant. How do you do this? Well, the way that your heart transforms in love is that you pray for these people, okay? Super practical. Pray for them. You don't just decide to like feel differently towards them. You pray for them. Other thought, some of us need to get better at loving other people that are close to us, and some of us need to get better at loving people that are very far from us. In fact, people that we only see on the television, okay? Let's start with that one real quick. We have to remember, if we're gonna follow Jesus, that the people that we see on TV that we despise, and the people that we see on TV that represent all the things that we think are wrong with the world, we have to remember that those people are, in fact, people. They're real. They're people. Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for him, and Jesus died for her. We have to remember that. Now look, if you want to live an ordinary life, then you can say whatever you want to about these people. You can say whatever you want to about them on Facebook, and you can say whatever you want to about them in your little inner circles. You can do that. If you want to be a follower of Jesus and you want to be like Jesus, you can only say things about them that you would want them to say about you. That's it. Which means that you can disagree with them. In fact, I think that you should disagree with people publicly and privately. But you can do that charitably. And here's the deal. If we as a society are waiting for CNN and Fox News and everybody else, if we are waiting for them to change the culture, then we have no hope at all. Their mission statement is not to be the light of the world. Yours is. That's what you're here to do. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, forget about them. You want to change the culture, then get out there and do it. Love those people, even if you don't like them. Rain on them. Jesus' is grace on them. Your charity and love and all that on them, okay? And some of us are recovering from Thanksgiving and headed into Christmas, okay? And forget the people on the TV. I'm having a hard time with the person sitting next to me watching the TV, okay? Look, you can't wait for your in-laws. Come on, you gotta do it. You wanna be a disciple of Jesus? You gotta love them. You gotta love them no matter what. So let me wrap up by painting this picture. What if, so that means we gotta break the cycle. We, the church, nobody else. We gotta break the cycle. We're the followers of Jesus. We want peace. We gotta break the cycle through the Holy Spirit working inside of us. Okay, let me paint this picture. Christmas 2019, just a couple of weeks away. There's somebody you're gonna be with that you don't like. Can I get a head nod? Thank you very much. Okay, you're gonna be with somebody, some heads were more emphatic than others. Okay. You're gonna be with somebody that you have a hard time with. Here's what Jesus says. He says, look. Your enemies are not just the people that are hard to love. They're the people that other people will tell you you shouldn't even bother with loving. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Like there are some people in my family that are hard to love, but everybody tells me I need to love them. Your enemies are the people that some of your friends are gonna say they don't deserve you, whatever. Okay, look, I don't care. Whoever you're with, you got somebody in 2019 that's gonna be hard to love. What if you go all in on loving them this year? What if you do that? Your love might kick open a door in their hearts that will help them to experience God's love this year. You might be the means by which God gets into them because you just rain love on them. Which means that in 2020, that person might be a little bit easier for you to love. Okay. I could pray there, but I would end it too ideally. Because the odds are in 2020, they're gonna be just as hard to love. And you know what? You're gonna love them anyway, if you're a disciple of Jesus. You're gonna love them in 2019, even if they're not gonna change in 2020. You're gonna love them in 2020, even if they didn't change. You're gonna love them in 2021, and 2022, and 2023. Because that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. So I'm just gonna close with this one. Yeah. This is what Jesus wants for his birthday. Are we gonna be men and women this year that give it to him? Are we gonna be like everybody else? Or are we gonna be men and women of peace who love even those that don't love us? I'm gonna be going hard after this, friends. I'm gonna need you to pray for me. And we're gonna pray for each other too. Okay, let's pray now. Holy Spirit, come and be with us. We cannot love people the way that the Father and the Son love people if you, Holy Spirit, are not working inside of us. I can't do it. But I believe that you can do it inside of us. So God, help us to be motivated to love and help us to do the practical things like relying on you and praying for people, Lord, so that you can open a door in our hearts and so that you can open up a door in their hearts. God, we just want to give you what you want. And what you want is us fully turned over to you so that we can love your people like you love your people. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, we're going to stand and sing the first verse of our closing hymn, hymn number 202. Friends, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We have a choral benediction that we sing in here. We've sung in here for a really long time. For Advent, the next three Sundays, we are going to sing something different. And I'm going to encourage you to join in the choral response printed in your bulletins, O Little Town of Bethlehem, followed by a word of blessing. Let us join together. Receive this blessing. May we all go forth, may you go forth, knowing that God's love rains down on you consistently and constantly, and that Jesus' grace does the same thing. And as that love pours down on you, may you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, share that love with others. And may you pray tonight for that one person that you want to pray the least for. And may God do something in your heart and in theirs. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week. Amen.